So we're so pleased to welcome virtually Julie Sullivan, the new environmental scientist for the City of Quincy and the new Department of Natural Resources. And Julie, great to virtually meet you, and hopefully we can do it in person soon. Nice to see you.
Thank you. Nice to see you too.
If you could maybe just start out, just give us a little bit of background about yourself, where you're from, where you went to school, and your work history.
Sure. So before I came to Quincy, first of all, when I was still in school, I went to University of Massachusetts Amherst. And during my time there, I was primarily involved in environmental education. So I pretty much worked with grades kindergarten through undergrad with that. And then once I graduated with my master's in sustainability science, I started working with municipalities, mostly around waste management and stormwater management. I first worked for an organization called the South Shore Recycling Cooperative, and we were doing a huge recycling education project through them in 15 different municipalities. And then I moved on to the town of Braintree in the stormwater division, and now I'm in Quincy, kind of, you know, trying to see the difference I can make with managing Quincy's natural resources, because there are so many of them and they're so beautiful. So it's really a privilege and an honor to be there.
Yeah, it's all new venture for the city too. So what initially have you kind of been able to assess about the city's environment?
So right now I've basically just learned that there are myriad resources that are so different. There's 27 miles of coastline, so that presents its own set of challenges. The marshes are beautiful, but they need a little bit of tender, loving care. There are some inland ponds, actually, that I'm working on right now, Butler's and Sailor's Ponds, and they kind of have just been taking in tons of stormwater over the years and kind of deteriorating quality, so I've been putting a lot of energy in trying to move those projects along. I know that the Butler's Pond restoration, that has a lot of really positive community energy behind it. And that group, the Friends of Butler's Pond, has been able to do so much great work already. So kind of getting up to speed on what's happening in the community already and kind of taking those projects and running with them. And there's some other good stuff in the works around sort of stormwater management, ecological restoration that I've been working on.
Yeah, there must be some, I would think, unique challenges in an urban environment as opposed to, you know, the more rural areas that you worked in the beginning.
Absolutely.
And now, more than ever, during this pandemic, the importance of, you know, being outside and being in a healthy environment has really taken top priority for a lot of folks. So I'm sure in some ways you're glad to see that, although probably, you know, not through this way, obviously.
Right. Yeah, it was very interesting in the beginning because I normally do a lot of things outside. I just love being outdoors and running and hiking, and sort of, as you know, in the beginning, before there was really any government guidance on this, when it was really just kind of getting started and the cases were building up and people were kind of just like, okay, let's get outside. So I went to some of my favorite spots. Like, I live in Jamaica Plain, so Jamaica Pond, I went for a run there and it was just super crowded. And I was like, oh my gosh, like, you know, this can't be good for the problem either. Right. So now there's kind of been some more guidelines issued around that. And it's just really nice to see people still kind of getting outside, and a lot of, you know, a high volume of people getting outside. And I think that people will really kind of take away the value of nature a little bit more after all of this is over, because it offers so many positive mental health benefits to get outside, and of course physical health. I mean, it's so important and crucial for kind of staying healthy during this time.
Sure. And even, you know, folks, I think, probably appreciating their own backyards and decks and patios, for that matter. And maybe, you know, when this is over, folks will, you know, appreciate those a little more, and maybe take care of them a little better too.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So what are some of the unique challenges in Quincy right now that you see? What are some of the good things and the bad things in the environment?
I think mainly what you mentioned about just kind of Quincy being such an urban environment, it's really a challenge kind of with the existing development and sort of just the density of everything, and the way that, you know, there's just so many roads and so many things that are built, I think, that maybe don't interact with the natural resources in the most positive way. So you kind of have to work with what's already there and just try to make it as best as you possibly can. So that has been kind of more of a research challenge on my end, just trying to figure out, you know, like, there's certain areas where they're built like right next to a wetland. Mm. And because of that, I mean, you can't like tear the building down or anything, but you have to kind of work with what's there. Obviously, what would be ideal for the wetland is if the building didn't exist, but you have to kind of move forward anyway and kind of see what you can do with what you have. So kind of just considering the existing development is kind of probably the biggest challenge in terms of what I'm thinking about.
Sure. And how about, you know, kind of outreach and education, you know, Julie, to the public, what kind of things would you like to do in that realm?
So like I said, I would have loved to have a in-person Earth Day celebration this year. I was thinking of kind of planning some kind of ward meetings just to kind of gather the biggest environmental concerns that citizens have. And I more than welcome anyone to reach out to me with their concerns and I can share my contact info. I really just want to know what people are thinking in Quincy in terms of like, are they worried about climate change? How can I help them plan for a safer and more resilient future? And I really was hoping to ramp up some chances to gather that feedback this year. But again, challenging times to do that.
Right. Earth Day, April 22nd this year. So it's still going to be recognized as Earth Day, only in a different way. How are you planning to do it in Quincy?
So I'm just kind of offering suggestions to people at this point. I mean, there's so many things that you can do to kind of celebrate Earth Day in your own little way. It doesn't have to be super dramatic. One thing I've noticed as I've been walking around a lot more is just the amount of trash on the road. Mm. There's a ton of it. And that's just, you know, not only is it aesthetically damaging, but it's also something that ends up in our waterways when it gets washed into the storm drain and carried away somewhere by stormwater runoff. So I think a really good way to celebrate Earth Day this year would be, of course, in a sanitary way, to just kind of walk around your neighborhood, pick up maybe trash around your block. You can take it even further if you want and just see how much you can collect, because there's a lot of it out there. I was kind of shocked to discover that in my own neighborhood in Boston. And the same kind of goes for Quincy, I'd say.
Yeah, probably, you know, when you're obviously when you out walking, you see a lot more than you would if you were just driving by in a car or on a bus or even on a bike. You know, you really get a chance to look into the wooded areas and the parks and just the gutters and the streets. And it becomes a lot more clear than just whizzing by at, you know, 40 miles an hour.
Right. And in the same token, I think there's a lot of things you can notice that are positive. So one thing that I kind of like to do just as an environmental nerd is kind of look for different plants that I might be able to ID. So now would be a really good time to even just walk around the backyard and play a fun little game with yourself. Take pictures of plants, take pictures of animals, try to identify them just so you can learn about the nature around you, because I've noticed a lot of things are also reemerging during this time where there's not a lot of people around. And I've seen things I've never seen before. Like I saw some birds mating the other day and I was like, I've never seen that just in the middle of Boston before. So things like that. It's just really fun to observe, and bird watching as well is a fun hobby. So maybe just like take this time to try to get into things like that and observe what's around you.
Sure. And, you know, ironically too, because of this pandemic, I've heard and read about stories where air pollution is dramatically lower, obviously, because there are fewer people driving around. So, you know, I guess there's a silver lining there too.
Absolutely. And this is, I think, the first time that global emissions have decreased in a very long time. So I'm almost celebrating that in my own little way, because I'm just like, wow, it's really possible, even though this is the most horrible circumstance we could possibly imagine. You know, it shows that people can really pull together. If, let's say, the emergency on deck was climate change, which is totally feasible, it just shows that we can really pull together and kind of, you know, decrease emissions, which is the most important thing. So,
yeah, I do think, you know, in Quincy, at least, it is, climate is a concern. There's the Quincy Climate Action Network, of course. There's the solar energy program that's underway. There's a bicycle group, you know, that encourages bicycling rather than riding for environmental and health benefits as well. So do you feel that the city is, you know, how do you kind of rate where Quincy is when it comes to appreciating the environment?
I'd say that they're way up there. The citizens that I've interacted with so far since I started in November have really just impressed me, knocked my socks off in terms of their level of civic engagement. And it's really encouraging to see how deeply involved just, you know, residents of Quincy are in trying to make a conscious effort to restore the environment and make it livable for years to come. So that's really been a huge burst of positive energy that I've been greeted with, and it's been really helpful to me. So I thank those residents, and especially Sally Owen, who connected me with you.
Yeah.
I actually participated in one of her environmental treasures tours. Just things like that are so amazing to me, that just regular everyday citizens are organizing such beautiful things.
Yeah, and that program is 20 years old. It goes year round, and they never have a shortage of topics or people, you know, to recognize. There's always something in the environment to talk about. So that, I think, speaks volumes too as to the abundance of opportunities in the city.
Always.
Yeah. How can technology, Julie, play a role in what you do for your job, but for regular citizens as well when it comes to the environment?
I know that there's kind of a series of apps coming out now. For example, there's one that I saw, I don't remember the name of it, but a lot of people are submitting pictures of bees. Cool. And they were trying to figure out, you know, is this like one type of bee or another type of bee? Is it a pollinator or is it just a little fuzzy guy? And so, you know, I've seen a lot of things like that kind of encourage citizen science, so to speak.
Yeah.
And those are gaining popularity. And I think stuff like that would be really fun to play with too. If you're kind of stuck at home and bored, just kind of do a search for environmental apps, citizen science apps, because that's really fun. And I've actually seen a lot of projects, like some water quality projects, species counting projects, wildlife management projects, that are all born from citizen science. And they really produce meaningful data that's helpful to people at the management level, and it helps us make environmental decisions. So I would encourage people to kind of look for things like that, because technology is kind of meeting this challenge that we have environmentally.
Sure. And I know the city is in the process of documenting every single tree, every city tree in the city, you know, and putting that on the city website for folks to see, and then to manage those trees through that information. So that's pretty amazing to me.
Yeah, that's correct. That's actually my coworker, the tree warden, Chris Hayward. So he's been working really hard to kind of get that inventory up to date. And the work that he's doing is really noteworthy as well.
Sure. Do you plan to, I mean, when, you know, eventually schools will reopen, maybe not this year or not, but eventually, to reach out to schools and do some work within the Quincy Public Schools?
Sure. So I was actually planning on giving a presentation to the Beechwood Knoll Explorers on April 1st, but unfortunately we had to table that. But that's an area that I'm really passionate about. As I said, I came from an environmental education background. And in my previous job in Braintree, I would do a lot of classroom presentations about, you know, recycling, stormwater management. I didn't think that I would get kindergartners interested in stormwater management, but just passing around like a picture of a catch basin was exciting to them. So I was like, okay, this is cool. And I just love that feeling of, you know, because that's the generation that we need to teach right now.
Yep.
They're our future. And to see kids really kind of pick up this stuff and run with it is super encouraging. So as soon as school starts back up, I would love to get started on that.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think you're right. That is the generation we need to look at, because they hold the future in their hands for sure.
Absolutely.
So, yeah. You know, we've heard a lot of different reports about how recycling is changing in the marketplace, at least just because of the way the economy has worked in the world. Is that something that you're concerned about?
I am kind of concerned about that in a pretty big way. I would say it's a lot of it has to do with the supply chain. So sort of when single stream recycling, when people can mix everything together, a lot of confusion came about. And so people would kind of just start throwing trash in with their recyclables. And it was getting so bad to the point where the United States and other countries who are implementing this single stream technology were kind of receiving warnings from countries like China, who was buying most of this material. And then they finally came down with a standard that said, okay, we can't take anything that's more than 0.5% contaminated.
Yeah.
So that's a really low benchmark to meet. That means that if you have 200 things in a recycling bin and one of them is like a dirty paper plate, then they have to trash an entire load.
Wow.
So many times it's so much worse than that. So a lot of the stuff that goes into recycling is not viable at all. And I know that the state's been trying to meet that challenge with really robust education. There's a website on DEP called Recyclopedia. Mm. And you can literally just type in, you know, can I recycle this? And it'll tell you exactly what to do with it. So they're really trying to ramp up their education program because a lot of this has been put on consumers to kind of know what to put in the bin. But in my point of view, it's a lot bigger than that. I think that there's kind of been this defect in the supply chain all along. And I hope that we can fix it because in theory, recycling is such a good thing to do. It saves so many natural resources. It saves a ton of energy from virgin resources having to be mined. And it would be great if we could kind of get back to where we were with separating the glass and the cardboard and all that, because that way the value of the material is retained and you can more easily recycle it. So that's just my two cents.
I think that's true. That, you know, the single stream was obviously made to make it more convenient for people, to encourage them to recycle more. But unfortunately, as you said, it got out of hand, and now is completely gone the other way. But right. I know, at least in the Quincy Public Schools, they're trying to manage the issue of food waste also, and see to it that that is reduced. Is that a problem, do you think?
I'd say there's a lot of great things that we can do with food waste that aren't necessarily being done, because I think I read somewhere that about a third of what's thrown away is food waste. Wow. So if you think about it, if all of that was composted, then we could reduce our solid waste stream by about a third in volume. So that's huge. And that means that a third less of that space is going to be taken up in landfills. Mm. A third less of that material is going to be sent to incinerators where it could be better used elsewhere. Because when things compost, that's like super nutrient rich soil that can be used in so many good ways. And I think kind of encouraging people to compost could be a fun way to celebrate Earth Day too.
Okay.
It's pretty easy to start a compost pile, and there's tons of advice online about how to do it, and there's so many ways you can do it. And if you garden at all, it's like you basically have a gold mine in your backyard.
Yeah, you'd be amazed how better your plants and vegetables do in some nice rich soil, as opposed to, you know, kind of the rocky soil that we have around here in New England.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, it really is fuel for plants.
Yeah. Sally, you mentioned Sally Owen. She had mentioned that you're trying to work on some kind of a Facebook piece for Earth Day, a video maybe, or educational tool.
Yeah. So I think we'll share this interview to our Facebook page. I was going to maybe try and like walk around and pick up trash. And then I kind of got in touch with you, and I got in touch with Clayton Cheever from the library. So I might be helping him with some kind of library programming, and I'll keep you posted on what he decides to do, because I think he'd like to do a virtual Earth Day as well. So as soon as I kind of started getting in touch with folks like you, I was hopeful that I could share this content to our Facebook page.
Okay, great. Yeah. And like as I mentioned, we'll put it on our website too. If folks have ideas or thoughts or questions for you, Julie, what's the best way for them to get a hold of you?
So you can send me an email, and I will spell out my email address because it's very long. It's okay. Juliane Sullivan, Sullivan. So Julianne Sullivan at quincyma.gov. And you can email me anytime. Like I said, I really, really want to put emphasis on what the residents are thinking about climate change and environmental issues in their neighborhood or in their community, because that's really the most valuable feedback to me. And I want to make sure that I address those issues on your behalf.
Okay, great. Anything else that you'd like to add?
Happy Earth Day, and I hope y'all have fun, figure out something earth-friendly to do, and stay healthy.
Great advice. Yeah. Again, it's April 22nd. Is it about the same time every year?
It is on April 22nd every year.
Oh, it is every year. Okay.
Yep.
And what is the history of Earth Day? Do you know? Can you give us a little history lesson on that?
Yeah. So actually, this is the 50th anniversary of Earth Day. And believe it or not, back in 1970, the idea was proposed by a Republican and a Democrat senator. And they got together and they said, hey, listen, like, you know, if we make this a holiday, we can really put environmental issues on the national agenda. So they built an entire movement around that. And the first Earth Day demonstration involved 20 million Americans in 1970. They took to the streets and they marched and they talked all about the things that they wanted to see the government do in terms of the environment. And that same year, I think it was the EPA was created and the Clean Air Act was passed. And then just a couple years later, the Clean Water Act and the Endangered Species Act was passed. So that was a really meaningful movement back then and today, because I think it's kind of a reminder of where we need to go.
1970, wow. So that was, I'm trying to think, I think that was a Republican administration. That would have been the Nixon administration.
Yeah. And he actually established the EPA. So, I mean, things were a little bit more bipartisan back then.
So was it what spawned it, do you think? Was there a pollution issue at that time that's better now? Have there been improvements since then, do you think?
I think that kind of in the 60s, environmental issues started to really be a big concern for a lot of people.
Yeah.
There was a lot of just blatant discharges from factories to rivers. There were rivers catching on fire, things like that. And really, people were just moved by that to the point where they were like, we need to do something about this. So without those acts that I just mentioned, the Clean Air Act, the Clean Water Act, et cetera, I think we'd be in a lot worse shape as a country right now, because those laws still really produce a lot of meaningful action and they are enforced. And without those laws, this would be a less livable country, in my opinion.
Yeah.
But the most important part is that we need to keep that effort going, and we need to kind of adapt that effort to the challenges that we're facing now in the 21st century, because sea levels are rising. The climate is changing. I mean, there was barely a day that was below freezing this winter. And I remember even, I don't know, maybe 20 years ago when I was still trick-or-treating, that I would always have to wear like a winter jacket out on Halloween. And now it's just usually like, I don't know, October is like an extension of August. So the weather is changing and the climate is changing. So I think, you know, Earth Day is the time where we need to really think about that and kind of how are we going to address that in the future. And we should be grateful for what we already have in terms of legislation. And I think a lot of lawmakers' hearts are in the right place, but we just need to kind of keep going, moving forward.
Yeah, well, we saw it hit very close to home. You know, the Charles River was the dirtiest in the nation. Then the Boston Harbor cleanup, because the harbor was so polluted. So yeah, there's things right outside our door that have changed because of it, for sure.
Right, and that was all Clean Water Act. That whole Boston Harbor cleanup, Charles River cleanup, the establishment of water treatment plants. So that's led to a lot of meaningful progress.
Sure. So again, Julie, your email, if you could, please.
It's julianne.sullivan@quincyma.gov.
Okay. Earth Day. Happy Earth Day. Thanks so much.
Happy Earth Day. Thank you.
You're welcome.